wonderful verse. Last week, we remember his grace, Petra Prabhu gave such a material lecture on the verse before and the verses before that. In today's verse, Krishna goes on to say something very wonderful actually. He says actually a very important principle of devotional service that we should always keep in mind. The key in Bhagavad Gita actually is very much in this verse. Is very much in this verse. You find that in this verse, what Krishna is actually telling Arjuna is that my plan, Krishna's plan, it will supersede all other plans. That is the first thing we should always remember. My plan, Arjuna, is greater than all other plans. Your plan is to become an instrument under my plan. That should be our plan. If we can have that plan to be under Krishna's plan and become an instrument under his plan, then this whole verse will become meaningful and it becomes applicable to our daily lives. The first thing that we must understand is that nobody can understand Krishna's plan. It's a good way to start. That's the first thing Bhagavatam tells us. I think in 1916 and 1917 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhishma Dev Mahajan, he himself says this point. He says, Nahi asya karhi chit rajan. Right? Kumar Veda Vidikshitam. Yad Vidiksha Saya Yuktaha Muyati Kavayogi. He tells this to Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is brother of Arjuna. So it's very significant. He's telling him that, Yudhishthira, you please remember one thing. And this Bhishma Dev is not saying at the point of fighting. He's saying as he's lying on the bed of arrows and his life is about to go. So his instructions are very important because he has a whole lifetime of experience. So he's saying now at this point of time, no one, Yudhishthira Maharaj, can understand the plan of Krishna. Great philosophers are trying day and night to see what is his plan, what does he have in mind, what's he anticipating, why is he doing this. Everyone's asking this, the great philosophers, but they are bewildered. They cannot understand this point. And because they cannot understand this point, Muyanti Kavayomihi, they become confused. Because they are trying to understand the Lord's plan. So, Bhishma Dev's advice to all of us, because Yudhishthira Maharaj already knows this, he's a great devotee. It's for us actually. It's simply this. Don't start your devotional service by trying to question what is the plan of the Lord. If you do that, you are actually guilty. Okay? So suspend for a while. That's the first point. Then he tells us in 1917 what we should do. He says, because now you know that the plan of the Lord is inconceivable and you cannot understand it. Because philosophers can become bewildered. How much IQ you and I must have next to the great philosophers. So he says then, tasmat, therefore, right? Idam daivam tantram. He says, you accept the plan of the Lord as daivam tantram. Prabhupada translates the synonyms as enchantment of providence. Very beautiful. It's meaning if you just accept it as the enchantment of the Lord. It is his magic, you know. Tasmat idam daivam tantram. Vyavastya varata vishabha. You accept it as my opinion. He's Mahajan. We are following the steps of the Vaishnava Acharyas. So he says, you accept my opinion. This is my opinion. I am Bhishma Dev and I am telling you this, that you should just do one thing. You accept that whatever Krishna is giving is his plan. It is inconceivable. You cannot understand it. Having understood that, he says, then you must do one thing. Tasya anuvihitaha anataha. Tasya means, therefore, right now, anuvihitaha means so desired and you become anataha, meaning you become helpless. Because he has desired something, before him, before his desires, your desires become helpless. You cannot do anything because his plan always overrides yours. Right? If you are staying in father's house, no matter how much you plan, father's plan always comes first. If you think your plan is greater, father will say, you go get your own house. Which is what happened to us, isn't it? That's why we're in the material world. We decided our plan was better than Krishna. Krishna put forward the supreme plan. We came up to him and we said, look here Krishna, there are some flaws in your plan. Right? And these are reasons. So Krishna said, very good. Since you have your own plan, I will invest, you know, all my investment I'll put in material energy. build this nice world, how much money Krishna must have cost to make this material world? You just think, if this was on the budget of a country, how much do you think it will cost to make this earth? I can't even imagine. How much he has invested on us? It's actually a bad investment. Because unless we go back, you know, we are going to be stuck here again. He's not making anything from us. But because we decided our plan was greater than his, we are in difficulty. So he says that you accept that you are helpless before him. Once you accept that you are helpless before him and you don't know his plan, then what must you do? If you don't know why the sun is coming from the east, what do you do? Do you not get up in the morning? You don't do that, isn't it? You just accept. Somehow it's coming up in the east, let me just accept it. You can't fight with the sun and say, now, sun, why do you stand in the west? Until you do that, I will not breathe. Sun is not going to stop for you. Sun will set in the west. Whether you like it or not, whether you disagree with it or not, whether you like the sun or not, sun is not going to wait for you. So therefore, we are helpless in front of Krishna. This point we must accept. If we accept it, our devotional service begins. If we don't, our devotional service ends. Then we continue in the material world. There's no two ways about it. So then he says, once you have understood that you are helpless and you must follow his plan, then what must you do? Nata nahi praja prabhu. Then you just rule this kingdom, Yudhishthira. You work as a kshatriya should be. Rule. Take care of your subjects. Isn't that exactly what he's saying now in 11:33? That's exactly what he's saying. Because now Krishna is telling Arjuna, Arjuna, you have no part in this. Either you be with me, right, or you be with Maya. If you want to be with Maya, that indestructible time is there. But if you are with me, then you are protected. So just follow my plan. That's all. And if you don't know my plan, it doesn't matter. Whatever comes now is my plan. If you take up devotional service, accept what I have stated. If you accept it 100%, you are safe. If you don't, you are in difficulty. This is the point that Bhishmadev is telling us. This is one great personality who has told us from the pages of Bhagavatam about the plan of the Lord. Another great personality from the pages of Bhagavatam that has told us about the plan of the Lord is none other than Brahmaji. Brahmaji is the original creator of this material universe. In the 3rd canto, 9th chapter, Brahmaji then says one very important thing. He says to Krishna, he prays to Krishna. For 19 to 20 prayers in that 9th canto, he prays very, very, very hard. And what does he pray for? He prays somehow to have guidance on how to create this material world. That is what he does. He prays very hard. And at the end of the prayer, after praying very hard to Krishna, mind you, Brahmaji was already invested with all powers. But even then, he knew humbly that if he did not accept the blessings of the Lord and the guidance of the Lord from within, he will not be able to successfully carry out the plan of the Lord. This is an important point he's teaching us. So then he prays very hard, and after praying all the prayers, he realized Krishna had not responded yet. So what did he do? Bhagavatam tells us he became a bit morose. You know, we also become morose sometimes, you know. We feel why Krishna is not hearing us. And then Krishna spoke. He spoke from within his heart and he appeared before Brahmaji. When he appeared, he spoke this very important point. 3:9:29 of Bhagavatam, we should remember. He said, Ma Veda Garbhadharans Tandrim. He says, Ma Veda. Ma Veda means, you please do not be morose. Don't be depressed. Oh, depth of Vedic wisdom. He exhortedly prays Brahmaji as the depth of Vedic wisdom. Don't be depressed. Ma Veda Garbha. Garbha means Brahmaji. Ga Tandrim. Why? He says very nicely here, Tan Maya Vitam. He agreed. He says here that whatever that you are asking from me now has already been granted to you. It has already been granted. And this is exactly what the third line of this verse is telling us. My eye might be Dinata Purva Eva. Whatever that is needed to be done on this battlefield, Arjuna, has been done. This is a surprise. So what am I doing here? You just be here to follow my plan. That is all you have to do. And if you submit and you are humble and you follow, then you are out of this battlefield. You will be my devotee. So the same point that Brahmaji received, Brahma was shocked because he said, whatever you've asked for me has been granted to you before. Don't worry, doesn't matter. And then 10 verses after that, in 3:9:38 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna tells Brahmaji, you know, Brahmaji was doing meditation for 1,000 years. We sit down for 1 hour for a lecture. When is prasadam coming? He said 1,000 years. Mind you, it was nirjal, 1,000 years. He didn't eat, drink. There was no, prasadam counter, nothing. He was alone. Nobody to cook prasadam, nothing. He just sat on the lotus flower and he meditated. And he heard the sound, ta-pa, ta-pa, ta-pa. Ta-pa means austerity. And that is all he did. And for 1,000 years, he prayed for Krishna. And when he spoke Brahma Samhita, he glorified Krishna. How much must his sadhana must have been for him to continue that way? And at the end of all that, in 3938, Krishna says very nicely to Brahmaji, please know one thing, O Brahma, I am very pleased with you. Whatever prayers you have chanted, whatever prayers that you have done to praise my glories and transcendental activities, whatever penances that you have undertaken up to now, and whatever firm faith that you have in me, all these are to be considered my causeless mercy. In other words, even our prayers are not coming from us actually. Even our ability to glorify Krishna must actually come because of His mercy. Even our sadhana that we may be proud of, I'm waking up in the morning for Mangalarti, I'm doing deity worship, all this is only coming out of the causeless mercy of Krishna. Krishna told Brahmaji that, actually he's telling us that only. Because sometimes we think, I have a plan. At 4:30 in the morning I'll wake up and I'll do Mangalarti. My plan never fails. But your plan is being sanctioned by Krishna. He allows your plan because it is in line with His plan. And therefore, you are allowed to wake up for Mangalarti. If you have no desire to work in His plan, then no matter what you want, you won't wake up for Mangalarti. You put the alarm, you put 10 alarms, 12 alarms, they won't ring, they'll ring, you put them off. This snooze thing is very dangerous, isn't it? You put it on snooze and that's it. Before you know 6:30, you have to wake up, Mangalarti is in 3 minutes. Like that. That also depends on Krishna's causes. Because we don't want to go according to Krishna's mercy and plan, we are in difficulty in the devotional service. We are in difficulty. Why? It comes back to the point. Arjuna wanted to fight, did not want to fight Prabhus and Matajis because he actually thought, at that point of time, for our benefit, not for him, but he actually thought that he was a doer. He thought that his presence in the war will influence the outcome of the battle. He believed that he was the one who was going to fight. He believed that he would be killing the people. He believed that he would be killing his kin and kin. And he believed that he would be rendering violence. But Krishna dispelled that in 11:33. Because here, Krishna made it very clear to him that it is not you who are actually doing it. It is me. I am the one deciding who is going to die and who won't die. All you have to do is, you obey me. You obey what I want you to do. And Krishna puts forward this very logical argument. You just follow this argument and it is very difficult to actually become not convinced. In 1857 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna starts by telling Arjuna, Chetasaha Sarva Karmani, right? Mayi Sanyasa Matparava. Then he goes on to say, Buddhi Yoga Upasritya Matsutta Sadatam Bhava. So the first thing he says is, you just become dependent on me. Take up devotional service and be dependent on me. Don't think. Don't think so hard. Don't concoct. Just follow what I have given you. If there's a manual to turn on a TV, why must we turn it on without a manual? That's silly, isn't it? In material world, why we go to school? Why we prefer going to school instead of correspondence course? Why? Because the teacher will just shortcut everything and make it clear for you. You do a correspondence course, halfway through you go and see TV, halfway through you go and raid the refrigerator. No discipline! But if you follow what has been given, you will reach the required result. So that's the first point he's saying. And he says, because you're conscious of me, then what happens, you become really, really within my plan. Then he says, Machitta Sarva Durgani, because you're conscious of me, Sarva Durgani, that means what? Whatever Prabhus, Matajis, whatever obstacles, Durgani means obstacles, whatever obstacles that may be in front of you, Mat Prasada Karishyasi, Krishna guarantees, I will remove them. So why did you are following my plan? If you follow my plan, I'll remove the obstacles. Krishna protected Arjuna throughout the Mahabharata war. Many times Arjuna came within striking distance of being genuinely hurt. How many times Krishna as charioteer took the arrows on behalf of Arjuna? How many times Krishna came back at the end of the day and took out these arrows and had bloody armor because of the fact that he was taking it on behalf of Arjuna? Because Arjuna was conscious of Krishna's plan. And because of that, whatever obstacles that came in the form of the Kauravas, they were destroyed by Matprasada Karisyasi. And then Krishna warns Arjuna, but, Atachitva Mahankaram, Nashoyasi Vidamshati. If you do not want to take shelter of me and work in that consciousness according to my plan, if you act on your false ego, no, I have my own plan, then what will happen? If you don't hear Krishna, Krishna says you will be lost. You'll be lost. You don't have direction. That is why devotees have direction in life. If you ask a devotee what is your purpose in life, they will tell you to be Das, Adu Das. To follow what Krishna and the Vaishnavas have given me. If you ask a non-devotee that, he'll give you his 5-year plan, his 10-year plan, his 15-year plan. But whether or not he has lived for his 5 years or his 10 years or 15 years, nobody knows. Not even he knows. Muyati Kavayoti is bewildered. Then Krishna goes on to say, Yat Ahankara Mashtyaha. If you take shelter of your own directions, if you act according to your own thinking, then very simple he says, Na Yogi Eti Manyate. Mityaya Vyavasthaya Ste Prakriti Swam. Yogi. Very important point. He says that if you don't act according to my direction, and if you don't fight, then what will happen? Then you will be falsely directed. Because you are acting thinking that you have your own plan. And when that happens, Arjuna, Krishna is saying, by your nature, you will have to fight. It is your nature to fight. And in the next verse he says, for bhava jena kauteya. He says, it is your nature to fight. Nibbada sweya karmana. He says, it is in your nature to fight. You cannot run away from the fact that it is your nature. So, under illusion, you will now decline to act according to what I want. He says, you will say now, no Krishna, I don't want to fight, you will decline. But actually later, compelled by the will born of your own nature, you will somehow or another act all the same. So the point finally is very simple. Krishna then ends off by saying, Ishvara Vastarna Bhutana, Riddeshya Arjuna Tishtadi, Brahmayan, Sarva Bhutani, Yantra Arudhani Mayaya. He says, you please know one thing. You are just an actor. Right? You are just a vehicle. What you must understand is that I am in everyone's heart. And he says this emphatically, he doesn't use the word I, you know here. He says the Supreme Lord is in everyone's heart. Because he wants to make an emphatic point. All this way Krishna said, I. At this point, he says the Supreme Lord. You read Prabhupada's translation, that's what Prabhupada translates. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. And he is directing the wanderings of the living entity. So who is actually director in our hearts, in our lives? Who is directing? We think we are directors, but actually we are the actors. If this was a drama, we are the actors. Actor cannot work without a director, isn't it? Every time we have Bodhima drama, all the other dramas, who is the pivot of the whole drama? Gopala Prabhu, right? Satyadev Prabhu, depending on who is the director. None of the actors can just stand up there and say, look, I want it this way, I'm going to go. We have artistic difference. Right? That's a polite term you say here. You say you're hopeless, you don't know what you're doing, I want to do my own thing. This is what we tell Krishna. Krishna, we have an artistic difference here. I have my own plan, you have your own plan. What happened to the drama? First of all, your artistic career will fail. Because if you don't follow according to the director's rules, you'll be fired on the set. Right? Go produce your own movie, director tell you. Go direct your own movie. And chances are, because you're not as talented as this director, your movie will become a flop. So why waste all that trouble? Why not go under an expert director and let him direct your wanderings? And Krishna is so kind, even though he's director, he gives credit to all the actors. Have you noticed that about Krishna? He's very kind. He put Arjuna in the front and he became chariot. Bhishmadev came rushing at him, he somehow or another he glorified Bhishmadev. And he put himself behind and he was ready to break his own vow, but not at the expense of anyone else. Krishna always is ready to glorify his devotees. He doesn't want credit. That's because the actor is following the director. So this point we must remember. that if we really want to be surviving in Krishna's material world, as Krishna says here, you do one thing. Just follow according to what we should follow in Lord's name. If you don't fight for Krishna, then what happens to us, brothers and sisters? 1.5.14 of Srimad Bhagavatam is very clear on this. Tato anyata yadvesha. No, tato anyata. That's the verse, huh? Do we remember the verse? Tato anyata yadvesha. I forget the verse now, but I know it's 1.14. Now anyway, in that verse, Narada Muni is the one who's chanting that verse. And he says very nicely in that verse, that actually, frankly speaking, tato anyata, anything that you want to do apart, tato anyata kinchana yadvivekshataha, that's the verse. Tato anyata, anything that you desire to separately describe, apart from the vision of the Lord. Tato anyata yadvivekshataha. No, tato anyata kinchana yadvivekshataha. What happens? Pritam krishashtat kritarupadamadhi. Whatever you want to describe separately from Krishna will just react in this material world in different names, in different forms, with different things. And what will happen to it? It will come up to this point. Na karhiche kvapicha dushtika matihi. Matihi means mind. Dushtika means oscillating. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to describe, whatever you want to act in this world, which is separate from the plan of the Lord, will only react with different things in this world to produce agitation in your mind. It will produce agitation. You'll be disturbed. And isn't the whole Kali Yuga's symptom, Prabhu Sambhaji, one of disturbance? Now you're sitting in the Chaitanya temple and you're hearing the Bhagavad Gita, not different from Krishna. No one is disturbed now. No one. It's still early for prasadam, so your stomachs are not growling. But you're not disturbed. In fact, you're at peace. You're not envious of each other. There is no hankering. Nothing. We are peaceful. Why? Because whatever we are describing now is not different from Krishna. And Bhagavatam gives us an example that Lave Prabhata Hatanau Ivaspatam. Nau is boat. Just like a boat which is not anchored to the land, if it is not anchored to the land, it will just be moved around and tossed by the waves in the ocean. In the same way, the mind, if it is not following Krishna's plan, it will just be tossed around in agitation. So every time we are agitated in this material world, there is only one reason for that. The reason is our vision is separate from Krishna's vision. We are doing something that Krishna does not want us to do, therefore we are disturbed. If we really accept that and submit the way Arjuna did, that despite the fact that we don't like to do something, like Arjuna did not like to fight, but nevertheless if we take it up for Krishna, then our mind gradually becomes peaceful. It will become peaceful. Bhishma Dev in his prayers 1935, he said very nicely this point. He submitted, Bhishma Dev submitted, don't forget the Muslims, please, Bhishma Dev submitted. He was on the other side of the Kauravas, wasn't he? Just on the opposite side of the Lord. And he admits in 1935 that when the Lord came between the armies of the Kauravas and the Pandavas, what did the Lord do? He mercifully glanced on the side of the Kauravas. And when he did that, he shortened the lifespans of the enemies. He shortened the lifespan of the enemies. And when he did that, Bhishma Dev says, just with his mercy. And by doing this, how did he do this? This was done simply by his looking at the enemy. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes, Krishna is so kind that even if your plan is not in accordance to his plan, he shortens your lifespan. And then he shortens your lifespan. At least if you take cognizance of Krishna, if you don't accept him, but you take cognizance of Krishna, like all the demons, what happened to them? Mercifully by the glance of the Lord, every one of them at least attained liberation from the cycle of material existence. If that much was given to those who were not in accordance to Lord's plan, how much would be given to those who are in accordance to Lord's plan? How much? We don't want to become hamsas. We don't want to become Ravanas. Even though we actually in heart, words of them comes as Ravanas. Every day, when they open their mouth, they could chant some nice shlokas, they could give some nice philosophy. You remember, there's a whole chapter dedicated to Hiranyakashipu's teachings to his mother after Hiranyaksha was gone. It is superb teaching, absolutely fine. Except that in the next chapter, he continued to terrorize the whole universe. So we don't want that. That our devotional service becomes lip service. We come here, we hear, when we go out, our plan is separate from Krishna. Then we become disturbed. Then we blame Krishna, we blame the society, we blame the fact, everything else we blame except ourselves. But who is to be blamed in this circumstance? Except ourselves. We cannot say the condition is not favorable. We need to wait until all these things happen and therefore it will happen. You know and I know it will never happen. Right? You will never have a perfect condition in this world, Prabhu said, Mataji. It is not going to happen. It won't. Nobody has a perfect time. Tomorrow something will come. Tomorrow something will go. There's no better time to start following the Lord's plan than now. There is no better time. And this is what Vishwadev told us. And this is the point that we should understand. And the best example of this wonderful application of the principle of 1133 is given in the pages of Bhagavatam by that great devotee, Ritrasur. Ritrasur in 6th canto of Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, actually taught us how to execute the plan of the Lord. And if we remember that, surely we can really, really advance in the devotional service very nicely. We all know, Prabhu and Mataji, that Ritrasur was actually born from the sage Vastha. Because his brother, what was his brother's name? Vishwa? Yes, Vishwarupa. Vishwarupa was approached by Indra to become the chief priest of the demigods. Why? Because Indra had offended his spiritual master Brihaspati earlier. So the demigods were losing strength in the battle against the demons. When we offend our spiritual master by not following his plan, because his plan is not different from Krishna's plan, when we don't follow 10% his plan, we suffer in our spiritual life. It is a fact, because you're not following director. You can't be a good actor. So that point we should remember. So the demigods were in difficulty because at the start they had offended Brihaspati. Then they got substitute guru and he was Vishwarupa. Vishwarupa was Brahmana. And at that point of time, Vishwarupa agreed to become the chief priest of the demigods to perform oblations so the demigods become strong in their fight with the demons. But unknown to Indra, Vishwarupa's mother side was related to the demons. So he felt very bad that why should I just support other side of me? I have to give some leeway to mother side also. You know better, we're all in family, you know. So after saying that, he decided that this is what he'll do. When the big sacrifice came, he would chant very loudly all the prayers for the strength of the demigods. And then quietly on the side, he would chant some prayers to neutralize the strength of the demigods by making the demons just about equal. So the demigods in the beginning were very strong. But after a while, they realized, hey, how come every time we had a match, it was a draw? One all, two all, three all, somehow another, right? Never clear, no clear victory. Every time it was a draw. So they began to feel frustrated. Then Indra decided, let me sit a bit closer to Guru and see what he's chanting. After everything finished, he realized, wait a minute, these are mantras I've never heard. And then he realized, he's doing a double game. He's taking care of them, taking care of us. In that heat of moment, forgetting that he's Guru, forgetting that this may be the inconceivable plan of the Lord, Indra did the unthinkable. He took out his sword and he chopped off the head of Vishwarupa. He chopped it off. And when he did that, sage Vastha, the great father of Vishwarupa, came to realize from his austerities that his son had died. So, meaning to make sure that Indra would pay for this, Vastha then created this great demon. And this demon, Bhagavatam describes to us, was so powerful, so fearsome. His body was like a mountain. His complexion was like the hue of molten copper and gold. His head and crown was deep, touching the higher regions of the mountains and piercing through the clouds. With a roar, all the demigods on the battlefield just fell down. One roar. They hadn't taken darshan of Ritrasur yet. Just a roar. They all fell down. Can you imagine what kind of sonic boom must have come from his mouth? And they described that his teeth were as tall as hills. So So you can imagine how petrified the demigods were. When Vritasura came to the field, the demigods were really put in disadvantage. Indraji then decided that he must turn to who? Brahma. And Brahma decided that we have to petition to who else but the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord then gave the instruction that you please go to the sage. The sage is Dadichi. Get his bones because he is a great devotee of the Lord. I don't know how you get his bones, but you get it. He will give his life for you. Get his bones. Make from his bones that great, powerful thunderbolt of a weapon. And that weapon will kill Vritasura. There's no other way. So Indraji and the demigods approach this wonderful sage. And after a series of wonderful prayers and wonderful instructions, the sage agrees that I will give up this body for a higher cause. And from the body, Vishwakarma, the celestial architect, then took out the bones and he built this powerful, powerful thunderbolt weapon. So Indra came with his clubs, he came with his weapons. And when he came on the battlefield, he just shifted the equilibrium. Right? Because he became so powerful that all the demons started fleeing. And at that point of time, Vritasura was before Indra. And at that point of time, what did Indra do? He threw one of his most powerful clubs at Vritasura. Vritasura just caught it like anyone would catch a garland. If I were to throw this to Prabhuji now, he'll just catch it like that. In the same way, for Vritasura, it was nothing to catch. And when he caught the club, he threw it back at Indra. And it hit Airavata, the elephant, straight at the mouth, and he began bleeding. And the impact was so powerful, Bhagavatam said, that Indra and Airavata actually fell back 14 yards behind. That was how powerful the impact was. And at that point of time, the thunderbolt fell. It was too far away from Indra to immediately catch. He knew at that point of time that the weapon that he thought would protect him was out of his hand. All the demigods became silent. Indra became morose. And at that point of time, Vritasura began to speak. And what did Vritasura say? He said, first of all, that why are you becoming so morose? This is his first point. You should not be morose. Do you realize that no one is guaranteed of being always victorious? No one is guaranteed of being always the winner except the Supreme Personality of God. This first point you must understand. Because whatever that comes is the plan of God. Only Lord is victor. He is the cause of everything, Vritasura told Indra. So he knows everything. We can only be dependent on him. So how can you think that victory is yours or victory is mine? No one is guaranteed a victory. It's a very important point for us to think. Because every time we take up a plan, what do we think is at the end of the plan? Success, isn't it? And we think success defines who we are. But the only person who is really successful is Krishna. The rest of us are all failures. Until and unless we decide to come under this direction. Then he says nicely, Indra, all living beings in all the planets of this universe, including the presiding deities, they are all under the control of the law. They work like birds caught in a net. They are not independent. They may have some minor independence. They may choose to do something. But ultimately, he sanctions it. And based on their karmas, they will have to pay or be rewarded. Then he goes on to the next point. Your sensory powers, your mental prowess, your bodily strength, your living force, your immortality or mortality, they are all subject to the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We may intend, but God superintends. That's why he's superintendent. Right? When you say police superintendent, what does it mean? It means you may intend as a police officer, but your boss must superintend. Then only your intention, if it flows, good. If not, you're out. Even in material world, we have superintendent. So what more the ultimate superintendent? He is there. Then he goes on to say, a wooden doll that looks like a woman, or an animal that is made of grass and leaves, cannot move or dance independently. In the same way, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, Ritesha Munatishthati, Ramayan Sarvabhutanam, Yatra Arudhani Mayaya. That's what he's saying here. In the same way, we must act according to his desire. If we don't, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, very simple, come to this material world. If you want to dominate over and above Krishna, come here. Suffer the effects of Maya. And Krishna willing, if you come in contact with a Vaishnava who is very, very merciful because he is strictly really following the plan of the Lord, then you will follow in His plan. And then your plan eventually will come in line with Krishna. So here Vikasa is talking all this on the battlefield. And who is there? Indra is sitting there, Goros. And then he goes on to tell him, only a foolish and senseless person will think that he can understand Krishna. He thinks that he is supreme. He thinks that according to my actions, and whatever I can do now, I will be able to perform these actions. But he doesn't realize that it is the supreme personality of Godhead who has actually created him and will devour him in the form of death. That's 11:32 of Bhagavad Gita last week. And then finally, this is very nice, Vitasu then decides, he tells him, look, I am here fighting you, correct? I know for a fact that you will win this battle. This is shocking, isn't it? I know for a fact that you will win the battle. Why? Nanu esha vajra tamasa krutejitaha hari dadichi tamasa tejitaha. This is the point he's saying. He's saying that I know that your victory is assured, Indra. You don't have to worry, because the weapon you have got is actually a weapon born from the austerity and purity of the devotee of God. How can you lose such a weapon? Second, your victory here has been assured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because He told you so. He told you so. He told you what to do when you're following His instructions. You are in His plan. Victory is assured. So then, you may think, Indra, then why am I fighting? Why am I fighting? He said, look, my two hands have been cut. Because by then, the battle had come to a point where Vitasu had been already injured. But even then he was standing up. Even then he was very powerful. He said, I am fighting because it is my duty now. And I will do it. If the Lord decides that the result of my duty is victory, let it be. If He decides that the result of my victory is, if the result of my activity is defeat, then let it be. Prabhupada writes in the purport of 331 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, please read that purport at the end. He says, a devotee who practices Krishna consciousness without consideration of hopelessness or defeat, he will definitely come to the platform of pure Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gives the guarantee. Result is not in our hands. Vritasu is in a way the opposite of Arjuna. Arjuna came to the battlefield assured of victory, isn't it? Lord confirms here, my eyes are saying, Dunata Purva Veva, don't worry. By my plan, the Sauravasa will die. You're not on my list. You're not on the death list. You are on the alive list. But those who are going to die, they're going to go. So you just fight and win it. Be an instrument. And why is Arjuna called as Satya Sachin? That is very important for us to remember. Because Prabhupada, right at the start, he is known as Satya Sachin because he is an expert military man. He can shoot arrows very expertly. What is the implication? The implication is that no matter how powerful you may be in your material talent, until and unless that material talent has the sanction of the Lord, that material talent has no purpose. It has no purpose. What Arjuna was being told by Krishna is, you may shoot very expertly, but I have shot and killed everyone before you shot your arrows. So then, what can you do? This is my plan. This is what Arjuna is being told. That is why Arjuna in Bhagavatam, first canto, 7th chapter, before, when the Brahmashtra was coming before him by Ashwatthama, Arjuna, Prabhu Srimatis could easily have counteracted him. He could have shot an equally powerful Brahmashtra and killed off Ashwatthama like that. What did he do? He put everything down and he started chanting. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Bhakta, Nama, Yankaraha, Vamme, Kodaya, Manana, Apa, Bargo, Sitam, Shite. It's a beautiful prayer. He says, Krishna, 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 Mahabaho, Krishna, you are the mighty arm, not me. I may be Satya Sachin, but who am I next to you? You are giving me potency. This is gratitude of devotee. This is mood of devotee who goes according to plan of the Lord. Not that I am giving the class, I am singing nicely. This agitates our mind. But if we say, Krishna, you may have given me talent, but until that talent is ignited by you, it is of no value. It is of no value. That That is why whatever that is given to us, Prabhus and Matajis, until and unless it is utilized in Krishna's favor, it will only cause us agitation in our hearts and our mind. Frankly, that's the reason why we are here today. Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone is finding a way to stop this agitation. Krishna says, you can, if you follow this. This is the point for us to do. And so at the end of it, Vrindasu said, since victory is assured, you do your part, I'll do my part. I will fight you very hard. I have reasons to fight you. You are a killer of Ravana. You are an offender of Guru. Isn't it? What more reason can I have to kill you? I'm doing my part. And if I were to die on the battlefield because you have killed me, I will be victorious. How will I be victorious? Because at that point of time, I will remember my Supreme Lord. And as I die remembering the Supreme Lord, who cares what the result of the death came or how it came? The fact is, my conscience is being protected by Krishna. This is the point we must remember. The protection that Krishna gives us in our devotional service is not to our body, not to our health, not anything else. Everything else must deteriorate in this world. Bhautikanam cha bhavanam. 1, 4, 16 and 17 of Bhagavatam tells us that anything material in this world must deteriorate. It must deteriorate. So your health must go for Muslim masjid. There's nothing surprising. If your health is good, then it is surprising. You take it that way. If your health is good, then it is surprising. If you have no problems in life, then it is astonishing. Right? If you're not disturbed today, then it is astronomically magnificent. I'm just using superlatives, sir. But I'm telling you this point because the opposite is to be expected. But what Krishna protects is your consciousness. This is nice point. We should remember that. Vritasura was decimated. Because after he spoke this, you know what Indra did? Indra became happy. He got up, he picked up his thunderbolt and he said, oh great enemy of mine, I am so pleased and happy that you are a worthy enemy. Thank you for enlightening me on this point. And he picked up and they fought. They fought such a good battle that all the demigods and demons could only watch and shower garlands, shower flowers. Today when Palestine and Israel fight, does anyone shower garlands on them? Nobody does, isn't it? Because it's not according to the plan of the Lord. But this was the plan. So Vritasu acted his part. Bhishma Dev acted his part. Right? Everyone just acted their part. Didn't matter which camp they were in. Krishna wants it that way, I will accept it. You and I may ask this question, how do we know what plan Krishna has for us? Right? Bhishma Dev is Mahajan. Here Arjuna was given, 700 verses to think about. Krishna exactly hasn't done that for us. So how do we know what our plan is? Very simple. Our plan is in Bhagavad Gita. Lord's plan is in Bhagavatam. Lord's plan is in the lips of His pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. All we have to do is read, reread, hear the devotees, take shelter of the pure devotees, obtain the shelter of the spiritual master, and their guidance based on Sadhu and Sastra will be the plan of the Lord. The only thing then that will not accept that plan is our rascal mind. If even up to that point we cannot accept, and if we still want to give the favorable argument and argue for the sake of arguing and engage in philosophical armchair speculation till the cows come home, then this material world is truly a place deserving of our existence. No other place we can go. Because we are not with the Lord's plan. So Vritasu fought hard because of the thunderbolt. What did Indra do? He tore off one limb. One hand went. Another limb went. And at the end, Vritasu, Bhagavatam said, was left with no hands. But still he roared. He fell down. He opened his mouth very big to swallow Indra. See, even then he didn't say, nah, I got no arms, I surrender Krishna, finish, I've done my part. He thought, never mind, I got big teeth, isn't it? Let me swallow him. In other words, he was the perfect spiritual professional. He did what he had to do, and he did it with all his heart. Bhishma Dev fought like a warrior general on that side, but never did he forget that ultimately he had to submit to Krishna's plan. Vritasu did not for a moment think, Lord, actually I'm a great devotee of you. My prayers will be read in Bhagavatam, not Indra's prayers.
I should be the one that I should survive this fight, isn't it? At least give me that much credibility.
No. It didn't matter what the result was. He was just performing the Lord's plan. That was enough for him. And what did he do? Indra went inside the mouth and Indra broke through with his thunderbolt and came out through the body of Vrutasura. Vrutasura finally had to collapse. But even there, Bhagavatam said, even when he stood there with his limbs chopped off, he was a beautiful sight to behold. Bhagavatam describes him as a mountain that it was a golden hue of a mountain whose wings had been clipped. Like an airplane whose wings had been clipped. He appeared very beautiful. And when he fell, he chanted his beautiful prayers. And these four verses form the sum and substance of our devotional service. Jiva Goswami has quoted extensively of his prayers. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, I remember in one class in Gaurachandra Prabhu's house, he took an entire class on these four verses. If anything we should remember Vrutasura's prayers, because these prayers are the prayers to submit ourselves to the Lord's plan. We know this verse. Let us sing together. Aham hare kava padai kamuna dasanu daso bhavita smriya manasmareta sumate namaste ganita vaka mataro sukhayaha nanaka vishtam nasakara vishtam nasarva bhavam narasadhi mankyam na yoga siddhira puram namamva samanja sarva virahaya kamshe ajata paksha iva matanam kajaha sanyam yata प्रियं प्रियेवाभ्युषितं विषन्ना मनोरविन्दाश्रुतिदृक्षते त्वम् ममोत्तम श्लोकजनेषु सत्यं संसारश्चक्रे भ्रमतां स्वकर्मभिः त्वन्माययात्मा मजदारणेषु In the first verse, Vrutasura prays to the Lord, O Lord, he prays very, very feelingly. He says, when will I again get the opportunity to be the servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only in the Lord's feet? This is how we follow the plan of the Lord. O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind will always be thinking of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes. My body engage in the loving service of your nature. So the first point we must remember is that if we want to submit to Krishna's plan, we must submit to the devotees' plans. Devotees of the Lord are kinder than God. That's why Vrutasura is praying. The starting point is this. And we should engage whatever we have for Krishna. Vrutasura never forgot Krishna on the battlefield. Even as he collapsed, he fought to the end in remembrance of the Lord. Didn't matter what he was doing, that was his activity. Doesn't matter whether you're a lawyer, engineer, doctor. Don't spend time thinking whether it's my nature, not my nature. You have it now. Just do what you can. And follow his plan. Don't waste the time. And the second point is so wonderful. I don't want the highest planet of Brahmaji. I don't want Dhruvaloka. I don't want the hellish planets. I don't want this earth. I don't want Siddhi. I don't want to come out of this cycle of liberation or death. I don't want any of this if it means that I cannot serve your lotus feet. So it doesn't matter what situation we are in now, Prabhu Sarmanjis, wherever you are, use it as a springboard for Krishna consciousness. And you are safe. You are safe. Don't wait for the situation to change and then I'll pick up my Krishna consciousness. It won't happen. It won't. The third point is very nice. He says, just like baby birds, you know, who don't have wings, they wait anxiously for their mother to come to feed them. Just like calves, they anxiously wait all day. And the moment the ropes are untied, they run to their mother. A calf can find and locate his mother even in a field of 100 cows. He will just zoom in for his mother. He will cut through everything and he will go straight to his mother. He will never miss his mother. We miss our father all the time. Our shooting is always bobo shooting. Arrow always miss. Shots always go haywire. We always aim for the wrong things, but we never aim for Krishna. That is our fault. And just like a morose wife who waits because her husband is away from home, she becomes very peaceful and satisfied and waits for him to come back. And then she is happy. In the same way, Lord, let me always yearn. We must desire. Yearn means desire. We may not have capacity to perform something, but what stops us from desiring to perform an engagement for Krishna? Isn't it? We say the sky is the limit. For Krishna consciousness, the desire is limitless. The desire can kill us if we continue to desire anything separately from Krishna. But it can free us if we just yearn to serve, to take an opportunity to serve you and to serve your devotees. And the last one is so nice. Krishna, I am wandering throughout the universe as a result of my primitive activities. Don't blame anyone for those Matajis. When a plan goes wrong, please don't blame outside party, inside party, third party, fourth party. Don't blame Krishna. Rather accept it. It is my misdeed. Tate nukampam sushabikshamano bunjanae vatmakritam vipakam. Brahmaji says, it is the result of my misdeed that I am in difficulty. So Vritasur is really devoted. He is admitting immediately. And he says, therefore, I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. For us, everyone except ourselves are exalted devotees. Just go with that innocent mood that everyone we can learn from. Don't criticize everyone. Avoid those things which are unfavorable. If you see something nice in a devotee, you just remember that about him and you learn from that. My attachment to my body, wife, children and home is continuing by the spell karma swabhihi. They are continuing by the spell of external energy. But I wish to be attached to them no longer. Kunti Mata said this too. But she didn't mean that now we discard them. If we are not attached to them, the best way is to get them to become Krishna conscious. Then all of us become attached to Krishna. And finally, let my mind, my consciousness and everything I have be attached only to Krishna. This is the protection we ask of Krishna. Mayaya vaite nihata purve. Next time anything happens, Prabhu and Matajis, in your life, don't speculate. This is the plan of the Lord. Sometimes plans look good. Sometimes they look disastrous. Vritasu's plan must have been disastrous, isn't it? He died on the battlefield. But see what happened at the end. Because he died remembering Krishna, he finally attained the lotus feet of the Lord. Indraji won the battle, lost the war. Or is it the other way? I'm not sure. Always forget this. He won the battle, but he lost the war. Why? Because he won that battle. But after that, Brahmana's curse afflicted him. Because Vritasura was also Brahmana. 1,000 years he hid in the stem of the lotus in the lake of Sharonara. 1,000 years. He could not even accept oblations. Agni Dev had to come every day like a dispatch boy. Up and down. Nah, this is the oblations you have. In that time, his wife was being courted by some other king. His whole family life was destroyed. His peace of mind was gone. After winning a battle, he ended up in a lotus stand for 1,000 years. Now, which is better? To lose the battle and win the war, or to win the battle and lose the war? It may look like disaster. In your life, there will be reverses. They will look bad. They will look unbearable. But once we accept them as Krishna's will, where are you going to go and fight? To whom are you going to go and fight? If you have to fight at all, go to Krishna. You still have to go back to Krishna. You must accept it all. My Guru Maharaj always says, when you have reached the bottom of the bottom of the bottom, anything after that is going up. Why are you worried? What is the worst that can happen to us in this world, Prabhus? Matajis, we will die. That's the worst that can happen to us. We'll die. Right? Anything else, apart from that, is still a chance to come to Krishna. It's a bonus. It's an opportunity. So, let us be fired up. This is the first Saturday of 2009. This is the first Bhagavad Gita that we are hearing in this year. Whatever we may have been last year is history.
Whatever we are going to become, we don't know. But what we know now is that we have this chance to take up Krishna consciousness, to accept the plan of the Lord, to become peaceful, and to use what we have in the Lord's service. If we can do that, if we try, if we yearn, if we take up seriously loving service to the devotees in this congregation, to serve one another, to lovingly deal with each other, to pray that we can become instruments in Krishna's preaching efforts in this world, Srila Prabhupada's preaching efforts in this world, our spiritual master's preaching efforts in this world, then why won't Krishna give us the chance to serve these great souls? He must. It's a given. It's a given. That's the only place where he becomes man. That's the only place where he actually will have to open the door for you. So don't lose this chance. Whatever we may have been, now we should increase the fabric of our emotional service. We should increase the quality of our emotional service. We should serve all the devotees, and we must be loving and grateful for whatever comes to our plate after this. Whatever happens is for the good. Krishna knows best. If we think we know best, we are in trouble. If we say Krishna knows best and we submit, we are free. Jai Nandara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki. If I go, we can take one question and then we have some important announcements to make. If you think the question is going to be long and requires some time, then use your discretion. But never mind, bring it up. There are many exalted devotees here who can spend some time with you. Anyone? It's good to start the year with a question also. Yes? Please.
No, I cannot give up to this one.
I will repeat.
Devas are always up to some mischief.
Devas are always up to some mischief.
Yeah, and
Krishna is always siding with them.
What is Krishna's plan?
What is Krishna's plan in this? Can I quote you, Nahi Nasya Kandichit Rajan Prabhu, and say that I will be the last person to know his plan? Because it can be bewildering sometimes. The Devas, Bhagavatam tells us, they are devotees of the Lord. Because they have one qualification, which is very important for us to learn. When in trouble, they turn to Krishna. They get into trouble, no doubt. But when they have trouble, they turn to Krishna. One thing we can learn from that, because whole Bhagavatam is a canvas for us to learn from, is that in any situation of difficulty, it is always favorable for our peace of mind and for our devotional service if we turn to Krishna. The authority of this is 2.3.10 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Akama, Sarvakama, Moksha Kama, Udari. You know the words. Tibrena, Bhakti Yogena. What's the last line? Huh? Sorry? Yajeta? Purusha. This verse, Shukadeva Goswami states that if at all you need to do some damage control to your life, then if at all you have some desires in your heart, if at all you have some things which are not really becoming of a great devotee, then at least at that point of time, turn to the source of all sources. And gradually in that way, if Krishna wants, you may become your own. Which may beg another question, but the Devas keep doing it for you. Why? They do it, Prabhuji, very often, because one, Krishna wants them to engage themselves in this pastime to remind us that despite how many times we may also be in difficulty, there is no other repository except the Supreme One. There is no other repository for us except the Supreme One. We accept that in our hearts, then we can really learn that in all difficulty, to whom to turn to whom to complain, to whom to curse, we must turn back to Krishna. We must take Krishna. If we don't, as the Prabhupada says, we continue in this material world until we die. Until we die.
excellent blessing. Thank you. We shall end here now, brothers and sisters. Before we end off with Kirtan for about 10 minutes, we want to take this opportunity for the new year, right, to get everyone here to know a few things. One is the fact that all these programs have been running as a result of many devotees who work very hard to put these programs together. And every year, all these devotees, they do it without fuss, and they work very hard behind the scenes. Every one of you is responsible for the success of this program. But today what we want to highlight to you also is that by Krishna's mercy, sometime now it's almost been 2 years, by Krishna's mercy, this entire program has been officially registered as a society. Some of us may know it, some of us may not. The name of the society is Gita Reading Society, which is actually very apt, because what are we doing for the whole past 1.5 hours? We have been reading the Gita. So, if we really follow the principal objective of Gita Reading Society, which is to read the Gita, right? You don't need rocket science for that. You find that we become very blissful and uneducated in our devotional service. So the government has given us this wonderful chance to preach Krishna consciousness. And every year, what we have to do by government regulations is to have a committee of devotees come together, and they will actually be your representatives. They will serve all of you. They are not here to run a program. They are here to serve the devotees, to serve the Lord. That is their purpose. So while materially they may be known as managing committee, but spiritually they prefer to be called serving committee. Right? They are actually serving committee. So today I think it is very suitable that at least we know who these devotees are, because Prabhu said, Mataji, in the next year or so, with the government's boost, we now have before us this chance to introduce Bhagavad Gita and these wonderful principles of Bhagavatam and these wonderful spiritual activities to everyone in this country. And this is a wonderful chance, because it's exactly what Mahaprabhu wanted. This is what he wanted very much. So I'm going to not take too much time, but I'm going to request the devotees who form the serving committee to come forward, right? And when they come forward, they can stand on this side or that side, so the devotees can see who they are. Now that you know who they are, they will be more than prepared, because they were prepared before already to serve you. And if you have anything in your minds, any suggestions, anything that you feel that you can do towards serving Krishna and Krishna consciousness, please approach these devotees. They will be more than happy to hear you. And that way, Krishna consciousness, God consciousness can only grow, not by the efforts of one person. It can only grow by the efforts of everyone cooperating. That is the only way to grow. So, without further ado, I want to call the devotees out. When they call out, I think it is nice for the devotees here to give them a warm reception, because they are, after all, taking up what I can safely say is a very difficult task, because there is so much of work involved in this service. So I'm going to call the president of the Gita Reading Society to be here to Prabhu. Papadi Prabhu ki! Is the president of society last year and also for this year, right? He's a very senior devotee in our congregation, and my humble suggestion to all of you, if you take up his association very nice, you become very strict in your devotional service. So Krishna is very kind, he's given us a very capable devotee to look to our affairs and to guide us, because that is the purpose of all devotees. Each one of us take guidance from each other based on sadhu, sastra and guru. Now the vice president of the society for this year will be His Grace Shukdev Prabhu ki. Shukdev Prabhu, we all know. Shukdev Prabhu may be elderly in age, but he's very young in heart. Right? He's amazing, because he has this very nice capacity. Younger devotees take up to him, older devotees take up to him. Very nice. So he's our vice president. We have our treasurer with us. Treasurer is very important, because he will take care of all the Lakshmi that's coming in. Right? What is Lakshmi without Vishnu? We all become Ravanas if we run after Lakshmi without Vishnu. So this year we have His Grace Sridhar Prabhu ki. Prabhu, please come.
Shriram Prabhu is here, so he will look at it. Assistant Treasurer, and who was Treasurer last year, and we are very happy because, you know, he is also an auditor by profession. See, this is good use of your professional qualifications for Krishna service. It is great. Pushpa Gopal Prabhu ji. The assistant secretary this year, and who will be doing a lot of legwork and making sure everything is running, is his grace Gopalan Prabhu ki. Now it's nice to have Gopalan Prabhu in the committee because he is in between the younger committee, the younger generation, and the older generation. He's not too old, he's not too young, he's just nice. So then we have the members of the committee who are very important. Now the members of the committee, first of all we have the great Venumadhan Prabhu. Venumadhan Prabhu is here. Venumadhan Prabhu is one of the quietest and one of the most loving devotees you can find. But he is very, very hardworking and he lends a lot of experience to our committee. Then we have two Matajis actually. Where are they? Mayuri Mataji, is she here? Are they upstairs? Okay, Mayuri Mataji, she's not here. What about Radhika? Is she here? Okay, they're both up with the Gopal Garden. Okay, both of them are upstairs, they are teaching, but they are also part of the committee. Then we have three other devotees who actually are representing the younger group. And this is good because we always need the younger generation to continue. We have His Grace Narottam Prabhu. Narottam Prabhu is intrinsic to the activities. He's been with us for 14, 15 years. He's been a wonderful devotee. And he is a nice bridge between the Bengali devotees and all of us. And in fact, because of his hard work, please don't block Pandit Ji Guru. So because of his hard work, actually, Gaur Purnima, Krishna willing, will be a combined program between the Bengali congregation and us, and we'll have it at Tirumal Temple. So this is going to be a very wonderful time. So this is the wonder of cooperation of devotees. Then we have two other devotees whom you all know and all see. They are the engine room of the programs actually. One is His Grace Madan Mohan Prabhu ki. And the other is His Grace Srinivasa Prabhu ki. Taking care of another program that's running somewhere, that's given there. So these are the devotees who are here now, and they are here to serve you. Right? They are here to serve you. So please, always look out for them, and they, like you, also require cooperative effort. If there's no cooperative effort, we cannot do anything. This brings us to the final point of today. For the whole year now, Prabhu and Matajis, we have many programs coming up. But what we need to do as a society, as our president and all the committee members have informed us, is that as a society, if we become more cohesive in our programs, if we arrange programs which are bigger, more in that sense, more in the sense of reaching out to a variety of different communities, if we have programs which are quality with devotional service, then actually, not only us as devotees, but other persons who may not know about Krishna consciousness will also come to Krishna consciousness. That is what we want. That is what we want. That's what anyone wants. And you have seen the activities of the society. What we require now is actually for us to be able to expand these activities. And since all of you are part and parcel of the programs, our humble request for you is to come forward and perform any seva which you deem fit. If you have any talent, if you have any service that you sincerely want to take up, approach these devotees and they will be very happy to fix you. One of the most important services that we have right now that we need to plan is actually the service of each one of us making a contribution to Krishna consciousness. If each one of us were to put aside, say, $1 every day for Krishna, and at the end of the month, we just take out that amount of $30 and we put it at the lotus feet of the Lord. The combined effort of all these amounts, even though appearing small from each of us, will eventually snowball to the point where so many programs can be organized. Because it is a fact in Krishna consciousness that until and unless Lakshmi, money, is not used in the service of the Lord, it will eventually be used in the service of Maya. If you don't put aside $1 for Krishna, you use it for Maya. And Maya means anything. You use it to buy some sweet you like. You use it for a show you want to watch. You use it because it will form part of your dinner that you want to eat outside. Instead of anything of that which will cause you more bondage, how much more useful it will be if that is put aside for the Lord. That is why a congregation that grows by offering whatever it has to Krishna is a congregation that will have impact on the lives of all other persons. So our request to all of you who are here and who have been coming for all the programs, please feel free to come forward and make your pledges to the Lord. If you can do that, every single one of you will contribute towards spreading Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness cannot be propagated by putting a gun to somebody's face. It can't. You cannot force someone to come to God, but you can only lovingly serve Him, and you can lovingly share with Him what you have learned in God's consciousness. So from today onwards, Prabhu said, Mataji, starting from maybe next week, we'll have a team of devotees moving around. We will request you or ask you if you have any opportunities that you want to take up for service, and any opportunities, any pledges that you want to put forward. Because the more we can do that, the more programs we can organize. And the more programs we organize, the more better place we will be to introduce Krishna consciousness, not only to the masses, but more to our hearts. Because preaching is actually for us. I'm sitting on the Vyasasar and talking about Bhagavad Gita, but at the end of the day, if it doesn't touch my heart, then there is no point. The preaching is actually for my head and for my heart. So whatever you do finally will benefit not just you, but generations, your children, your family, and others who are outside who have not heard about Krishna, not heard about Bhagavad Gita. So please keep this in mind. And we have many activities there. We will keep all the devotees informed. But we need to be able to get a collective, cooperative effort. Don't ever think, Prabhu said, Mataji, that this is a program. Somebody else's program. I remember one time Panditji told me that this is Krishna's program. And it is true. This program doesn't belong to anyone. It belongs to Krishna. This temple belongs to Krishna. So, whatever we have also belongs to Krishna. Either use it for Krishna or you use it for eventually death. Because Krishna in the form of death or in the form of karma, in the form of time, will take away what you have. One time, you know, a dog and a pig were talking. And suddenly this man was passing by. And suddenly he got the gift of hearing what animals were speaking. The pig was complaining to the cow, "How come I am also giving my meat? But you are always glorified by everyone. Everybody talks so highly of you. But I am also contributing, people inform. But why is it that you are being glorified so much?" And the cow said, "I am being glorified because whatever I give when I am alive. Whatever you are giving, you give after your death." This point is absolutely very important. Whatever we have until we are alive should belong to Krishna. Whatever we have after we are dead is of no value. Because in any case, we can't do anything about it. Please keep this in mind, Prabhu's Mataji's, and let us now sing and glorify Krishna and pray to Him that we have a very wonderful, very, very encouraging 2009 for devotional service. As Pushpa Gopal Prabhu told me last week at the beach, the only protection we want is that Krishna protects our consciousness. That we always remain His devotees and use what we have in His service. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Vibhai Kaurabhai.